This is Flight Response, an audio element of the ongoing Why So Sad project, and this is episode 2. I posted episode 1 right around a year ago because this podcast is like a rare flower, an auditory orchid that blooms annually. If you like it, let me know. If you have thoughts and questions, let me know. Productive dialogue is an important tool in our quivers. The idea with this auditory orchid is to cover topics relevant to the Why So Sad project and weave them into a somewhat biographical story of a dude who was a boy in Scotland who loved Cadbury's cream eggs, lived with his mum and sister in a house near Westbourne Park, and whose granny said amazing things like, "Och, John, needs must when the devil drives," and who was told by the dominant culture that, "You know, you can't really be a pro skater. You have to think about getting a real job." But that boy kept getting glimpses of that world. He was driven by those visions to the point that he did become a pro skater in California. And he had many adventures, experiences, and relationships that shaped his wee brain and nervous system along the way. Today, I'm revisiting a conversation I had with the wonderful photographer, journalist, and now trainee clinical psychologist, Alex Irvin, for the also wonderful Free Skate Mag. The article that conversation was intended for was a bit of a career retrospective, so it's quite lovely for me, because it's some of the best skate photos I managed to shoot over the years, with some of the world's best skate photographers, all collected together. And rather than a standard Q&A, I sent Alex a thought starter, which was twofold. Part A was this phrase: childhood lasts a lifetime. Part B was this idea, or let's phrase it as a question. Is skateboarding a form of self-harm? I don't know. Maybe. Let us discuss. I first met and skated with Alex in Aberdeen in some combination of the late 90s and or early 2000s. He subsequently pursued photography while I pursued physics, before running off to join the skate industry in California, like some wayward urchin enamored by the trapeze artists of an arcane traveling circus. I digress. These days, Alex lives in or near London, completing his training in clinical psychology, but a lot of what we talk about has its roots at 57 degrees latitude thereabouts and 0 degrees longitude or thereabouts back in good old Aberdeen, Scotland, aka the Silver City. When we did this interview, I had just completed Dr. Bruce Perry's course, the Neurosequential Model in Sport, the Phase 1 training certification. So a lot of the themes you'll hear discussed are informed by the concepts covered in that course. This conversation happened in the spring of 2024. So Alex asked me,
"Childhood lasts a lifetime. Skateboarding is a form of self-harm." To me, there's a kind of seriousness and a playfulness in that statement. Is that true, you think?
And I said, I heard that statement, "childhood lasts a lifetime," from someone that works at an organization called Prevent Child Abuse America. Their mission is more or less to try and reduce childhood adversity and trauma for kids so they have a better health outcome long term. If you study psychology, Alex, which you do, you've likely heard about the Adverse Childhood Experience Study. What I've been learning about lately is some of the neurobiology that's been layered on top of that in the last decade or so. It gives us an idea of, like, okay, here's what we saw sociologically with the Adverse Experience Study. Now, here's the neurobiology that shows us why the chance of negative health outcomes increases for those of us who experienced more adverse shit when we were young. So, the idea of childhood lasts a lifetime is the idea that trauma or extreme prolonged unpredictable stress that we experience when we're young impacts our brains and nervous systems as they're growing and developing. Those experiences stay with us because the human brain and nervous system is not a computer, it's a biological system, like a tree, a and it grows, and those branches that are there inside us from when we were a kid don't just disappear, they're still there when we're grown up. And they respond based on what we experienced when we were developing as a kid. That's the idea in childhood lasts a lifetime for me. And it's been really helpful to understand that whole idea. As someone who experiences maybe outsized anxiety responses as an adult, and who grew up with an alcoholic in the household, that was my dad, and he died when I was 13, it was chaos that culminated in catastrophe. That's the development experience that informed my brain and nervous system's worldview. Informed that system of what it should expect, what type of world it should expect to experience. But understanding that point, that as you're growing up, your brain and nervous system's developing in response to that environment you're in. It's learning to predict what type of world we should expect to encounter in the future. I don't know, if we don't learn about these mechanisms, then those mechanisms, essentially our stress response, will kind of run the show to a certain extent when you're an adult. And this is a big part of what increases the likelihood of poor mental health outcomes. That's the idea. Alex then asked me,
was skateboarding in your mind when that statement was being formed as a topic of conversation for a skateboard magazine?
And I said, the childhood lasts a lifetime statement, no. But now we're talking about it. And now that we just parsed out that it's negative childhood experience, yes, that's what we all think about because of ACEs, adverse childhood experiences. But also the positive stuff that happened to you, that lasts a lifetime also. The protective factors, as we call them. Those are there built into your system too. Some of the positive things with skating, the protective factors, are that it gives you the sense that you're part of something bigger. It gives you the sense that you're part of something bigger than yourself, or that I'm bigger than myself. I'm valued and part of a crew, and I have friends all around the world that I can pick up the phone or go to a city and meet up with. And we have that common experience, us together versus the world. That's all in there subconsciously imprinted. In the depths of our brain's automatic systems that help us form our worldview. And part of my default worldview became that I belong to something. Skateboarding was that for me. Being part of that community, for sure, that sense of belonging helped develop my resilience and helped me get through. And we did that as kids without even realizing we were doing it. That's what humans naturally do. If you're lucky, you find a good, healthy crew of supportive creatives. That was the lucky thing for us, I think. That's the positive part that helped me become more resilient and counteract the catastrophizing my brain now has a tendency to get into. Putting that together has been really helpful. Putting those points together and connecting the dots has been really helpful to me. Like, oh, now I can stop. Intervene on myself and say, oh, my brain is having a natural response to what it experienced when I was a kid. As human beings, we need to feel part of this trusted community. We need to feel like we're valued by some group. If you don't, it elevates your stress. We evolved as groups. Skating offered that without me even realizing it. Alex then goes on to ask,
so skateboarding might serve as a potential alleviation of that difficulty. I started to think about the idea of belonging, how like escaping from difficult situations could inadvertently result in a sense of communal belonging and a supporting you in another way.
And I said, yes, the idea of escaping gets talked about a lot. As an analogy I think about sometimes when I did my ACL, I tore it by putting too much stress on the ligament and the ligament broke. The same principle applies to the nervous system, because it's a physical system too. So the idea of escaping is really removing yourself from a stressful environment. And then what you're finding in skating is twofold. The act itself is rhythmic and can help us regulate emotionally just by doing it. And then the connection to community, that's the next part of the puzzle, what you need to be emotionally healthy. I want to go in on the analogy of the ACL tear a little bit more. The idea is that when you do something like that to a ligament, the recommendation from a medical professional is not to continue to stress the ligament. It is to try and provide a situation where the ligament does not encounter more stress. Same can be said for the nervous system. If it's under too much stress, find a way to reduce what's stressing it, or remove it yourself from what's stressing it. Unfortunately, this is how in chronic stress situations suicidal ideation can emerge, because that is an extreme measure by which you can ultimately remove yourself from stress. It's just, that's not an outcome we want for anyone.
The narrative around belonging and skateboarding is pretty well-trodden ground, isn't it? You know, that we're one big family kind of idea. It's been written about a lot.
Yeah, it can be hackneyed. It can become hackneyed or cliched. I like to dig in and think, why is that? We evolved as human beings to need to be part of a group, because to not be part of a group is existentially threatening. You can die in the wilderness alone. We work together. I've said this a few times. We did not evolve as lone wolves, and neither did wolves.
This idea that the subculture of skateboarding provides some belonging, but within that, there's also a kind of separation from society as well, right? I don't know if you get that same tightness of bond in other social groups, because skateboarding's kind of smaller than other social groups, or maybe because it's other, that changes things.
I don't know. I think skateboarding is different in terms of the extent or lack of formal structure around it. It's like us together figuring out what we want skating to be versus the world telling us. But I think you can get the same sense of belonging with anything, with the little football team that you're part of, or playing tennis with somebody, as long as it's not a toxic environment there too. That's another piece of the puzzle. Skating's a bit of a dice roll, because it's kind of kids doing their own thing. It definitely wasn't always healthy growing up, with the amount of cider and wheat and all the rest of it that was floating around. I do think skating's interesting because it does have this multi-generational thing, especially nowadays. Like, there's older skaters that have been through it and hopefully come through it in a pro-social way and have their heads switched on and are looking after things to a certain extent. Maybe I'm dreaming.
I also thought maybe there's another layer on top of that, maybe where I thought the playfulness was, is that, you know, as a retired pro skater, childhood lasts a lifetime, skateboarding is like a childlike thing to do. Maybe you've experienced people saying, isn't that for kids, or aren't you a bit old for that kind of thing?
I don't know that people overtly say that out loud, but I do sense there is some bias against skating. I imagine it's because people can't help but think of it as a childish thing, and you could take that as insulting at first. But then you remind yourself as an adult, retaining that childish nature is so important. That playful, curious, creative nature is so important to health and to being a good or innovative contributor to whatever endeavor you undertake. We need to be curious and playful. And skating sets us up with that. If we take the lessons of skating and think through them like that and apply them, it's such a good lesson to take with us from childhood all the way through life, whether we keep skating or not. To diminish it and think it's not valuable, I think makes society wrong and we're right. And at that we laughed. Ha ha. Clever.
I think that's a nail on the head. We've come from this like quite bleak seeming statement to something else too. Obviously, there's hope in there, knowing you can change, right?
Yeah, right there. The whole big takeaway of everything I've been reading about over the last few years is that the brain can change. And so in the manner it can change to a point where you're in a really bad place, the fact it can change means it can also change to get you back to a good place. It's a constant evolution and growth that's happening, like literal branches. You know, neural pathways and all the rest of it. It's a growth process. But the brain grows according to the environment it's in and the stimulus it receives. So we can intentionally guide ourselves in positive ways, and we can be more intentional when we have a reasonable understanding of how it works, which we do.
Absolutely. I think there's a kind of momentum when you're skateboarding and you're younger. Just because you're so engrossed in it, everything's just happening. When do you think you're able to gain enough perspective to realise it had a positive impact on other aspects of your life?
Probably in my 30s or 40s, as I had to transition out of being a pro skater into life after skateboarding and find a different way to make a living. I've thought about this a lot. All the stuff I've been learning about and trying to put out there in the world lately, it's all the developmental neurobiology stuff, how our brains develop over the course of our lives. And then the in-the-moment neurobiology stuff. How does your brain process information right now? And then how is that affected by stuff in the past? And then what developmental stages are you at throughout the course of your adolescence, your early adult life and ongoing? You kind of get this sense that you're getting something amazing from skating as a kid, as a youth, and then as a young adult. But when you learn about neurodevelopment, that it develops in a sequence, so your brainstem, then your limbic system, then your social attachments develop, and your cortex develops in that order, more or less, roughly. And if you've read anything about this, it's not until your mid-20s, roughly, they reckon that your cortex is a bit more mature. It continues to grow and change. But it's the latest part to develop as you grow up. So how useful a lot of this developmental stuff is for somebody that's like 18, I don't know. There's still years of cognitive development to happen before you can look back and take stock. You don't have the time. You've not lived it yet. That said, we can be affected by experiences all the way from like in utero through when we're a baby and so on. So perhaps the brain development stuff is helpful to understand at any point in life. I hope so. It's been super interesting and I've found it super helpful. But I'm older.
Wondering about your idea of skateboarding as self-harm. Where do you think that comes in?
I think my dad dying pushed me because our natural response to really emotional, painful things is to try and get away from them. So skating and the physical pain of learning to skate was my escape. And my layman's understanding of what drives self-harming behaviors is that that's the pathway, replacing emotional pain with some physical pain, taking control. So it's like a surrogate in that sense. You have to push yourself pretty hard to get to where I got. I mean, you don't learn to skate handrails without not being too bothered about putting yourself in the way of physical harm. You know, you have to push yourself and manage your stress response to get there. So that's the double-edged sword thing again of putting yourself in danger, but you're learning to regulate yourself.
Do you think there was a control element in that for you? In testing your mettle?
Yeah, I think so. And I think when you're young, you're an adolescent or a kid, I don't know that you necessarily are consciously saying that, like, I'm living in a situation where there's lots of uncontrollable, unpredictable stress, and therefore I want to go and have this situation where I'm in control of the risks I take. It's not as conscious as that. It's more like you're driven and you find this thing called skating that gives you something you're not getting at home, and you feel it, you know, or it provides you control you're not getting or didn't get at an important time when you needed it. It's the feeling you get of being in control, subconscious or subcortically, or whatever we want to call it. That's one of the things skating offers for sure, that ability to be in control of the risks you're putting yourself into.
I think there's quite a big difference in how self-harm is understood generally, right? I think most people think of cutting. It goes way beyond that, obviously. But I think it's like the most common thing that people's minds jump to. Understand it as people trying to regulate their emotions or trying to feel something or trying to feel less of something. I wonder about skateboarding. It's quite a different thing. Maybe there's different intention than with other forms of self-harm.
It's a good point. I mean, just learning to skate is painful. You don't go straight to handrails and scrape your face off the ground when you wheel bite. So there's an element of pain. Something I learned recently that I thought was quite interesting and maybe relevant was the areas of your brain that are associated with pleasure and reward, the ventral tegmental area, nucleus accumbens, and then there's the activation of the dopamine pathways. That system is also related to the release of endorphins. And you get endorphins when you do various things. Many substances will release endorphins. So will cutting, physical pain. And I didn't know this. Endorphins, it's a portmanteau, it's two words in one. It means endogenous morphine, It's your body's self-produced morphine. I didn't know that. That's what you're getting. Skating is healthy and long-term beneficial, but there is that element of pain that you get from it that releases endorphins and will have a calming effect. That's kind of it. With skating, you have to go for things that you're not sure you can make and slam a lot, and that's painful. There's something in pushing yourself into that because you're calming yourself from the fallout of emotionally overwhelming things like the loss of a parent. So the parameters of when does self-harm become negative or unhealthy and in need of intervention versus when are the limits of using that mechanism to soothe yourself where the outcomes long-term are okay, I think there's always those parameters to consider with these things.
Do you think that some people might view it as quite a negative idea, thinking of skateboarding as self-harm behaviour, given some people's assumptions around self-harm?
It seems like we're getting to splitting out the difference between what people think of as pro-social or antisocial versions of self-harm. Antisocial broadly just meaning like it's not seen as okay in the broader culture, bad long-term outcomes. Pro-social, it's got some positive benefits and you're able to interact well with society. I don't know. Does it concern you to put the idea out there of skateboarding as self-harm? I just think it's an interesting angle. That's my personal experience. There was a bit of that in learning to skate for me and pushing myself and going through the pain of doing it. I was in control, and skateboarding is generally seen as a pro-social activity.
I'm not concerned about the idea at all, I suppose. I'm playing devil's advocate a bit, trying to pick it apart. I don't think the statement's anything but interesting, really.
Thanks, Alex. I think if I really sum it up and we put it back into perspective, we're not doing some broad meta-analysis of all skateboarders and what their motivations are. We're talking about what my motivation was. Emotional distress drove me to push myself further than my peers. And that's it. So it's my experience. When I look back at it, I'm like, oh, maybe there's something in that. Maybe you have subconscious desire to experience some pain because it releases endorphins and it does this mechanistic job of calming you down from whatever's going on in your head and whatever's been driven in those base lizard brain emotional systems. It puts you in some control over the experience. Skateboarding provided a good option for me, and I guess it's kind of circling back to what we started talking about at the start of our conversation. Looking back, it's one of the reasons I pushed myself to the level I did. I believe, to counteract emotional distress that had happened when I was a kid, when I was 13 or whatever. It's interesting the dichotomies were surfacing, like there's antisocial or pro-social avenues a kid might fall into. A lot of it comes down to luck, talking of falling into it. I was lucky I saw skating as a kid. I was lucky quarterback, the American skate store sports shop opened up when I was young. And skating then became a viable option. I could see an option there. Then I was reasonably good at it, so that was encouragement to continue. And then luckily, with what I was escaping emotionally, I found a fairly positive crew. You can quite easily find belonging in a really toxic or bad circumstances too. Or not find something like skating that helps you, that does what it needs to do for you to get through heavy emotional fallout.
So for you, skateboarding was a safe place with some degree of control and a bit of punishment?
Yeah, and then a healthy dose of risk. There's the idea that the old social structures that would keep adolescents safe, the village model, the extended family, all of that is kind of broken down in modern day, despite all the dreams and ambitions of social media companies. So for many people, there's this bigger macro thing that's happened as well, maybe beyond the scope of what we're trying to do here, but there's something interesting there.
I think connection's a really important thing, isn't it? And I think skateboarding provides a lot of that, even globally, like you mentioned before.
Yep. The surrogate for the village that's broken down over the course of the last 50, 100, 150 years for humanity. It's a survival system that's worked for some kids. It doesn't work for everyone because we're as tribal as anything else, as skaters. And because skating's comprised of humans who are both awesome creative angels and damaged conniving demons all at the same time. But we can save that conversation for next time.